To get Gamify Circus ready for a performance, there's trapeze bars to hang, wigs to be coiffed, and juggling to be practiced. These things and more were keeping the student performers of Gamify busy on a rainy April afternoon. They worked under the watchful eyes of Marcus Alwyn, the director of Gamify Circus at Illinois State University. He says the members of Gamify work so closely together that they form a tight circus family.
We inspire each other, we work together like a family, we also sometimes fight like family as well. It certainly becomes a second family and a second home for all of our members.
The show this year has a Broadway theme, marrying the Big Top to the Great White Way. And most exciting of all, says Alwyn, Gamify aims to break a world record with this year's show.
It will be an all-women six-high off the teeter board. So we'll have five women stacked up, standing on each other's shoulders, and then a sixth woman will stand on a teeter board. Looks kind of like a seesaw. A couple of big people will jump on the other end, and she will flip up and land on the top person's shoulders. This will be the first time that that's ever accomplished by all women.
At the bottom of that stack of acrobats is graduate student Carissa Dillon.
I think it's absolutely amazing. I never thought when I joined circus my freshman year that I would ever be at the bottom of a six high. I was excited just to be at the bottom of a three high. I mean, every time we do it, the girls are climbing up, and I'm just looking at all of them, and I can see all five girls, and I'm just like, I don't know how I'm holding them right now, but I am, and they trust me to do it, so it's an honor to be able to do that.
And at the top, the sixth woman in the stack is super senior Meyer Hersey.
I am nervous, but I am also really excited, and I feel honored that I can do this.
After several years training and performing with Gamify, Hersey admits circus is under her skin, and after graduation is not ready to give it up.
I've had one professional contract last summer working for Dolly Parton, and then now I'm hoping to have more as I continue.
Do you want to do that full time?
Yes, that's my dream.
Hersey isn't alone in her ambitions. Gamify director Marcus Alwyn says more and more often their performers go on to work in professional circuses.
We have them around the world. One alumni just recently moved to England, and he's working with Cirque du Soleil over there. And then we have several with Cirque du Soleil in Vegas.
One circus the Gamify artists won't have a chance to work for is the gold standard for all circuses, the greatest show on earth, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus. In May, that circus will end its 146-year history and close down. Declining ticket sales and rising operating costs is forcing the historic circus to lower its tent for the last time. It's the end of an era, and it's keenly felt on the ISU campus. Yvonne Stoynev is the assistant director of Gamify Circus. Prior to coming to ISU, Stoynev worked for 16 years at Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus.
My best childhood, because I started at the age of 13 to perform. My first time was 1978 to 82 with Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, so all my childhood memories are over there. So it's something special to me.
Stoynev was saddened by the news of the closure, thinking of his former circus family, soon to be out of work.
It actually hurts my heart because I worked there 11 years. I grew up there, and my wife also, I mean, my family over there and all that. It was painful, but we got to take it, what you can do. There are two big shows that they're closing, which it's around 500 people, I believe, without jobs.
Across campus from the Gamify practice gym is Milner Library, home of Special Collections, which contains the Circus and Allied Arts Collection, one of the largest and most renowned collections of its kind, with thousands of items relating to circus past and present. Here, among many photos, business records, and circus posters, are items from Ringling's history. The looming end of the greatest show on earth has hit hard here as well. Maureen Brunsdell is the Special Collections librarian.
You know, I think it's the changing tastes of the American public. They have so many different things to go see as far as entertainment is concerned that perhaps the circus didn't hold the charm it once held for the American public.
Mark Schmidt, senior specialist in Special Collections, says that they have a piece of correspondence in their collection that connects back to the origins of today's greatest show on earth. It was in 1907 that the Ringling Brothers purchased competitor Barnum & Bailey.
Otto Ringling is in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he's writing to his brother saying, hey, guess what? On Barnum & Bailey stationery, Barnum & Bailey is for sale. We should buy it. And they
run
do
it
just...
As, run it as two separate shows. We can make money. It will be... He actually uses the phrase, we'll be too big to fail. And I haven't proven it, but I think that might be the first time too big to fail was used. And indeed, that's what they did. They ran the two shows as separate entities until 1919 when they joined.
Why did they join them together?
Why not? I mean, you have the biggest, world's greatest show as Ringling Brothers was known, and the greatest show on earth as Barnum & Bailey was known. If you join that thing, you're just combining two wonderful shows into one, and perhaps conveying to the American public, you'll get more bang for your buck.
The Twin Cities has its own claim on circus history, being the winter home for many trapeze performers who went on to work at many circuses, including Ringling, the Flying Cancellos, for example, and the Flying Wards, who Brunsdale describes as the rock stars of their day. Schmidt says it might be hard to imagine now with our tech-driven, media-saturated society, but circuses like Ringling were inspiring to audiences.
Before all of that technology, that came to your community, a community that might be in the middle of nowhere, and it just happens to be on the route of Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, and suddenly a town erects right inside, right outside of your town, and there are more people than you've ever seen congregate into one space, and you're seeing people use horses in a way that they've never, you would never dream they would use horses. And doing trapeze and hearing music that you've never heard before.
And walking wires. I mean, kids, as a farm kid, we all walked rafters in our barns. But here are people, you go to a show and you see them walking a wire, 5/8 of an inch. What? That's crazy. But they do it.
Included in the special collections, there is a grim reminder of a tragic moment in the history of Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus. Maureen Brunsdale points out a smoke-smudged pennant with the word hotel printed on it. It's a reminder of the deadly Hartford fire.
1944 in July, there was a tragic fire that happened in Hartford, and what you're looking at here is the hotel flag. Actually, it's the cookhouse flag with the word hotel on it, and that, for local people, may not understand that the cookhouse flag had the word hotel on it, because oftentimes in the early days of circus, the performers would stay at a hotel, and the hotel would serve them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But local people may remember the Grand Hotel and wonder why it had that name. When it wasn't a hotel, it was an eatery. And of course it ties to circus, and this is the flag that was flying the day of the Hartford fire.
So this was a big top caught fire.
Yeah.
What, Ringling?
Yep,
big top.
A Ringling big top that caught fire. 167 people perished in that fire. You could still smell the smell of fire on the flag.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus carried on for many years after the devastating fire. But now changing tastes and bad business have at last brought the show to an end. But Brunsdale says, don't count the circus out, for it's very resilient.
Perhaps it's an opportunity. Anytime there's something like this, opportunities are created. And one thing circus is known for and has been known for centuries is that it's constantly changing. It's ever evolving. And I do believe circus is not dead. It's just a time for it to continue evolving. The circus with youth programs is growing tremendously. You see more and more programs like Gamify Circus around the country, and those programs are growing.
The greatest show on earth may end, but the director of Gamify Circus is optimistic about the future. Marcus Alwyn says the future of circus is in good hands.
The future is here, and not only these students that are right here, but throughout the country, young people are becoming very excited about aerial arts and performing arts. We're certainly a hub of that. I get calls and emails every year from other universities, students who want to start a program like ours, because what we have is the gold standard.
Former Ringling performer Yvonne Stoynev also feels positive for the future of circus, as more than clowns, flyers, and sawdust.
I feel very positive thanks to Cirque du Soleil. They have educated the audience and the young generation. Of course, the circus is art. You can see each year our numbers are going higher and higher. This year we have 90 plus students, which I believe it's one of the most students we have. People start understanding what really circus it is, because I treat it as art.
Librarians Maureen Brunsdale and Mark Schmidt mourn the passing of a strong cultural tradition and will continue to preserve the ongoing life of the circus.
Circus will go on. It's named after the circle. There's no end to a circle.
just because there's an end date doesn't mean the legacy doesn't stop.
GammaPhi Circus is this weekend. Performances are Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. at Illinois State University's Redbird Arena. And Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus lowers its tent for the last time with a final performance on May 21st. I'm Laura Kennedy.